Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Envy is a very insidious sin because although it doesn't necessarily harm others, it destroys our very soul. It's a deadly sin and it is self-destructive.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. When we experience envy, we become focused on comparing ourselves with others, which often leads to discontentment, resentment, or even hatred. But there's a better way. Today we're discussing how to overcome the destructive sin of envy. Now, continuing our study on the seven deadly sins, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message.
We may not hear much about envy, but it's very prevalent as we continue in our series on the seven deadly sins. Last time we learned that envy is never enjoyed by those who are envious. The glutton enjoys his food. The lazy person enjoys lying in her bed. But envy is never enjoyed. Envy is more of a secret sin, and it's quite self-destructive. At the heart of envy, we resent the success of others, and really are quite happy when misfortune comes to them. Of course, we'd never admit that, but there it is. So, allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart today as we think more about the sin of envy. In particular, I want to think of the cure for envy. Praise God that in Jesus Christ there is a cure. Now, what's the cure for envy? I'm going to suggest three antidotes. The first is contentment. That's difficult for many of us, isn't it? To be contented. But when you think of it, the envious person is not content. The one who's envious wants a change, wants something different, wants what someone else has or is. No, contentment is accepting where God has placed you in life under his sovereign providence. The envious person is restless, not contented. Are you envious of others? Envious of wrongdoers? Wonder why people who do not follow Christ, why they prosper? And you're envious of that businessman who is corrupt, but his business is flourishing, and you're on the edge of bankruptcy, and you are not contented. Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, "Be not envious of wrongdoers." Do you hear that? Don't be envious of wrongdoers. Why? The psalmist says, "For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." We only see the present. God sees the future. God will take care of them. Why are you worrying about them? Be at peace. Be content. When we're envious, we're not trusting God. Isn't that true? Contentment is living in dependence on God. Contentment is independent of our circumstances. There are always difficulties with our circumstances because we live in a fallen world. To be without problems, that's heaven. That's our future. Meantime, circumstances can be difficult. There are disappointments. There are tragedies. But the contented person accepts their circumstances, their appearance, their achievements, your possessions. So Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." You want to be a godly person? The answer is yes. You want God to look on you and be pleased with you? Yes. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I want you to reflect on the blessings and the generosity of God in your life. I know it's not perfect. Do you understand how God has blessed us? It's called grace, giving us what we don't deserve. Thankfulness to God for his many blessings on your unique life will cause envy and resentment to wither. Thanksgiving is a great cure for envy. And stop making comparisons with other people. Listen, I don't care if you're a young man and a quarterback in a team. I don't care how far you can throw that ball, someone can throw it further. Some of you have been watching the golf going on in our own city with the President's Cup. And if you're a golfer, I don't care how long you can hit that ball, I can guarantee someone out there is hitting that ball much further than you are. There's always someone who can do something better. There's always someone who is richer. There's always someone who's more effective at what they're doing than you are. And that's not the point. Stop making comparisons. Thank God for all that you are and all that you have. Stop being resentful and envious of what you do not have. Thank God for what you have. That will produce a joyfulness. That will produce a generosity. Envious people are not very generous, are they? They are covetous. They are frustrated. They are resentful in life. There's a bitterness. I've met some people who have almost died with this inner resentment and envy at other people. An unthankful spirit produces envy and discontentedness, which leads to anxiety and leads to the nasty sin of rejoicing over people's failures. We saw a couple of weeks ago that Paul begins and thanks God for all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. God has showered us with blessing after blessing after blessing. The contented person takes that from the good hand of God and is amazed at the grace of God in our lives. That's the spirit we want, isn't it? A spirit of contentment. Here is the second part, the second antidote I'm prescribing for you. Put to death the sin of envy. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Put it away. Throw it out. Put it to death. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. There's a wonderful passage which is a great key to our sanctification, to living the Christian life. Colossians 3, verse 5. This is very strong. This is a serious antidote. You go to your doctor and he tells you he's got bad news, you've got cancer, and he says it's going to require surgery. It's going to be painful, it's got to be cut out. That's the antidote. You've got to cut it out. It's growing, it's a serious problem, and we're going to cut it out. That's the picture. Colossians 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's envy, isn't it? It's a form of idolatry. You're putting something before God. On account of these, says Paul, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Put to death envy. The old-fashioned theological word is mortification. Mortification of the flesh. Putting to death that which is earthly within you. This sin of envy is serious. Don't trifle with it. Don't say, well, it's just in my heart, no one else knows about it. No, it's a serious sin, and it must be put to death. You must acknowledge the sin. Painful surgery is necessary. John Owen, the great English Puritan, said so wisely, be killing sin or it will kill you. You've got to deal with it. This is a deadly sin. Don't trifle with it. Don't say it's harmless. It's not. It's deadly. I want you to cut it out is the point. It must be put to death. It must be put away. You've got to acknowledge this is a sin. Are you prepared before God to say, I am confessing my envy? That's dealing seriously with it. Don't just at night say, God, if I sin today, please forgive me, and then jump into bed. That's not a prayer of confession. If you're convicted of the sin of envy today, you need to deal with it. You need to say, I'm guilty of envy, and specify in what way this sin is being expressed in your life. Put it to death. You're receiving no joy from this sin. It's slowly destroying you spiritually. It's negatively impacting your walk with God. It's making you resentful of others. It's changing you from being a joyful Christian to being resentful and negative and bitter and shriveled. No, you must root it out. Name the sin. Must be put away. You say, how am I going to do that? It's done through the power of the living Christ who indwells you. I invite you to study the first four verses of Colossians 3, where Paul tells us that we are united with Christ. In fact, he says, Christ is our life. This is the Christian life, the power of God in the life of the Christian, a supernatural power. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. He's going to give me all of the power I need to do the spiritual surgery and root out the sin of envy. Don't trivialize it. Paul says here, doesn't he, in verse 6, the wrath of God is coming on account of these sins, such as covetousness, which includes envy. But not only are we to kill the sin, there's something positive we must do. We must put on what is good. That's the third part of this cure. I'm to pursue contentment, number one. Number two, I'm to put to death the sin. Third, I'm to put on what is good. Colossians 3, if your Bibles are still open there as I'm reading, look at verse 12. There are certain things you've got to put off. What am I going to put on? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. Last week we thought of pride, meekness, and patience. Verse 14, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to put away all these nasty sins. I'm going to root them out. But now Christ has something far better for you than envy and immorality and slander and all of these nasty things. No, I want you to put on compassionate hearts. I want you to put on humility. I want you to put on meekness. And above everything else, verse 14, above all these, put on love. Love is the coat over everything else. Puts everything in place. Envious person isn't very loving, is she? No, I'm to love God first, and then I'm to love others. Listen to Paul in that great chapter on love. We'll think of it in more detail later in the series, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. We saw last week that one of the characteristics of pride is boasting. You want everyone to know how good you are and what you've achieved. Love doesn't boast, but also love does not envy. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. The person who's envious is resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Envy often rejoices at wrongdoing. Envy secretly rejoices when something goes wrong in the life of the person of whom you're envious. When you're proud, when you're envious, you're not loving. You may flatter that person you're envious of, but you certainly don't love her. You may say he's your friend, but when there's envy, there's no authentic, loving relationship. When you're envious, you may smile at the person and you're stabbing them in the back. It's called betrayal. Many of us have experienced that, envy. But when there's love, when there's kindness, envy dies. Love does not envy. Here's this person that you're envious of. You pray that God would give you a heart of love to them, that you'd be kind to that person, that you'd be compassionate. You say, well, they've got everything. I need more. No. God's put you exactly where he wants you to be. He wants you to love the person. Love does not envy. You got a brother or sister you're envious of? Stop that. You got someone at work that you're envious of? Stop that. They can play a musical instrument better, sing better, know the scriptures better, got more friends, whatever it is, you're envious of them, stop that. Love them. When there is love, envy dies. Love does not envy. And also learn to celebrate the joys and the successes of others. Envy has difficulty doing that, doesn't it? Envy really wants the person to fail. No, love always, always seeks the good of the other person. Something good happens to them. They're honored in some way. They make the team. Something happens to them. They're promoted at work. Learn to rejoice with them. When you're envious, you're not experiencing God's love, nor are you focusing on the gifts and the abilities and blessings and opportunities which God has given you. Do you understand the basic that God created you and God loves you? The God who decided on your height, the color of your eyes, your intellectual, artistic, and athletic ability is a God who loves you. This God has purposes for me which are being fulfilled. I am to trust him. He will guide me. He will help me. He will give me the strength and the wisdom I have as I depend on him and as I walk by faith. Have you received the love of God? That comes at the cross, doesn't it? Yes, God loves us in many ways, but his love is supremely seen in the cross. It was while we were his enemies that Christ died for us. It was when we wanted nothing to do with God that God's love comes to us through his Son, who dies as the sacrifice for our sins on the cross. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I wonder if some of you have not yet come to the cross personally, turned from your sin and trusted Christ as your Savior and experienced that supernatural love which the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts. And so John can say, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Why are you not doing that? Why are you not loving that person at school? Why are you not loving that sister? Why are you not loving that colleague? Lack of love. Ask God for that love to flow in your heart, dispelling that envy which is going to be rooted out. And this Christ who loves me will come and fill my heart with his love. Envy is a dreadful, insidious, yes, deadly sin. And the seed of envy lies in all of our hearts. Some of you are thinking, as I am, of people you've known in your life who've been particularly envious. That's not the point of the message, is it? So ask God today to convict you of any envy. To be content, to root it out, to ask God for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. Isn't that what Paul says as I think about it at the end of Galatians? He says, verse 25 of Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Do we live with the Spirit? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we do. He gives us the Spirit. I'm to depend on him. I am, as I'm walking just now, step by step is the point. It's a daily dependence on the Spirit. You get up in the morning and you ask God to guide you. You ask God for his help. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with the spirit. And then verse 26, let us not become conceited, no pride, provoking one another, envying one another. Written to Christians. He's talked about the works of the flesh in verse 21, which includes envy. It's a work of the flesh. It comes from our enemy. It's totally inconsistent with the new life that you have in Christ. Walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Stop provoking one another. Stop envying one another. But rather, thank God for His goodness in your life. Thank God for the blessings that He gives you. Thank God above all for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And praise and give thanks to God for all of His goodness. And I tell you, the more you thank God and praise God, that envy will wither and wither and wither. And walk by faith. And if you've never tasted of the wonderful, immeasurable love of Christ, I invite you to come to the cross and turn from all of these sins. The wonder of the gospel is that all of the sin, however deep, however horrible, can be totally cleansed. All of that defilement in your heart and life can totally go as Christ comes and forgives us. Eternal God and our Father, we realize how quickly these sins can spring to life in our hearts. But we thank You that we have a greater power, the power of the Spirit. And so for those who are following Christ, Father, I pray we'll all turn from these sins. Give us hearts of love, hearts of thankfulness, hearts of joy. And perhaps here there's some envy which is really spoiling some relationships in a home, at work, even in ministry. May we root them out, Father. Give us humility to confess these sins. And for those who have never tasted that the Lord is good, for those who have never come to the cross, may You open their eyes. Father, I do pray. Thank You for the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And may He be the vision, we ask in His name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message on the deadly sin of envy. If you missed any part of this lesson, remember you can always find these daily messages on our website at theverdict.org. And right now, to go along with this series on the seven deadly sins, we have a new resource we'd like to share with you. John has just released a brand new booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. And you can get a copy absolutely free. As followers of Christ, we need to have a clear and biblical understanding of sin so we can better appreciate our need for a Savior. So request your free copy of this powerful booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters by going to our website at theverdict.org. While you're browsing the website, we'd invite you to be a part of the work God is doing through The Verdict by contributing to our ministry with a donation of your choice. Your collaboration will enable us to keep spreading the truth of God's Word to fresh audiences in your area and beyond. And if you haven't contributed before, now is an excellent opportunity to begin. You can easily give today, whatever amount you feel led to, by visiting theverdict.org. Or send a check in the mail by writing to us at The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you agree that envy is a deadly sin? A sin which eats you up internally and can lead to a lot of other nasty attitudes and actions? In contrast, one of the great virtues of the Christian faith is contentment. Rather than spending our time envying others, we should trust that God is in control and realize that in Jesus Christ there's cleansing. Today, replace your envy with love and contentment. Next time we think of another deadly sin, a very common sin, the sin of anger.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.